Hey, folks, welcome back to Draft Talk on Pittsburgh Sports Live. I'm Alan Saunders, joined as always by Nick Faribault. Thanks for sticking with us here as we continue to talk about the 2022 NFL Draft leading up to the draft, which is now only about a week and a half away. And Nick, thanks for manning the ship. I was out with a bit of an illness last week. I couldn't really talk, so that makes this process a little difficult, but we got through it. And we're talking wide receivers today. And I think wide receiver is a very untalked about need for these Pittsburgh Steelers. They're missing three-fifths of their starting receiving group from last year and didn't really do anything in free agency to bolster that group. So it's going to come from the draft. And given the Steelers' track record, I mean, they're a very good drafting team when it comes to picking wide receivers, but they also picked them early. I wouldn't be very surprised if it's a first or a second day pick. Where are your thoughts on what the Steelers' needs are at wide receiver and how they'll go about meeting them?
Yeah, I don't think any of us expected them to lose all three guys, Ray McCloud, James Washington, and Juju. I thought you expect at least one of those guys back, but they lost all three of them, which is significant because your top two are Claypool and Deontay Johnson, and you're a Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool injury away from just utter disaster. And now maybe you have guys, you know, that you feel like can step up there, and, you know, Steven Sims, Anthony Miller, guys that have started on other teams before that you feel like can come in and do some things. But, you know, they signed Gunnar Olszewski to fill the Ray role, so they have that part done. But they need someone to play in the slot because they don't have a true slot right now outside of maybe Anthony Miller. And, again, you would like ideally to bring in someone to give him some competition. Now, that could be a post-draft type signing. This is a position where I think this year we could see the Steelers be a little active in the post-draft free agency market, you know, with the safety. I think another receiver could definitely come from that market. You know, someone like, say, I don't know, a Jarvis Landry, someone like that. If they wanted to make a bigger splash, they could do that. But this is a big need for them right now. They don't have good depth. They don't have a starting slot receiver. And so this is really important for them. And really, they need a lot that they didn't have last year in the receiving corps, too. They need some speed on the outside. They need another true X receiver in case Deontay Johnson gets hurt. So they need a guys that can, like, encapsulate everything. My guess is if they draft someone, I don't even think it's going to be a slot receiver. I think it could be a slot-capable receiver. But my guess is I think they're going to draft someone that can play on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at those free agents, right? It's Jarvis Landry, who really fits what they need in the slot very well, as well as Cole Beasley. Emmanuel Sanders could probably fill that role. But a lot of the other guys are more outside receivers, guys like Julio Jones, guys like Mohamed Sanu. I mean, like, there are a lot of players, though, that are still left. I mean, I'm just, like, you know, running down the list of available free agents. There are players out there that they can add to this team, but I really expect them to draft multiple wide receivers in this draft. I really think it'll be more than one because I just think that what they need is that they need so many different things, right? Like when the Steelers had Juju and Chase Claypool, they had two big physical receivers where if one of those guys got hurt, and we saw it last year when Juju went down, you didn't feel like now the Steelers' receiver room was overly small or overly weak. Now there's only one of those guys. There's nobody that can play the slot, and there's only one Deontay Johnson. They really need three wide receivers. To be perfectly honest, I don't really think Gunnar Olszewski plays as a wide receiver. I mean, he'll be a gadget play guy, but he's not even going to be as much of an impact on the offense as Ray was, I don't believe. So, I mean, they need multiple wide receivers to do many different things. And now some of those guys might be able to be two. Maybe they can get a big slot. Maybe they can get a big wide receiver who also is quick. But I mean, or someone that can play like Sanders, who can play inside and outside, but they certainly need a lot of help here. And again, like we talk a lot about how the Steelers draft wide receivers very well, and they do, but they also draft them early. I mean, Smith-Schuster was a second-round pick. Claypool was a second-round pick. Washington was a second-round pick. It's not like they're going to wait all day and just pluck off the end of the scrap heap to meet these needs.
Deontay was essentially a second-round pick, 66.
Yeah, right, the earliest part of the third round, yeah.
early part of the third with that pick they got from the Antonio Brown trade. So, I mean, they draft these guys early, and they hit on them most of the time. And here's the thing. This feels like a scenario to me where, well, you're going to have – you had two veterans on the roster last year in Miller and Sims on the practice squad. I think it easily is – I can tell you one of those two guys is going to be on the roster next year. I'm guessing it's going to be Anthony Miller because he can do a lot. He can play inside and outside. And again, he has experience with Mitchell Trubisky as well. So that's his quarterback from there as well. So I think Anthony Miller makes sense to fill one of those voids. And I think he can do it. I think Anthony Miller is a decent player. I don't think he's a starting caliber player, but as a depth guy, I mean, yeah, I'll take Anthony Miller pretty much any day of the week. But here's the thing. You also have voids in terms of speed on the outside. So you don't have anyone to respect in terms of the vertical speed. And then I think you're also, we've talked about this before as well, Chase Claypool in the slot is really an intriguing idea, right? Like his speed up the slot, his size, his physicality. And what people will counter that with is, okay, the guy can't stay on his feet. He falls all over the place. He's kind of a clumsy player, and he is, but he's so big, fast, and physical that he is going to be a mismatch. And we saw that many times when he was thrown in the slot. Wouldn't surprise me if you see him kind of take some slot snaps next year. You could also see Freiermuth kind of work into that a little bit more. Maybe you work some more 12 personnel with Gentry coming in more. Like that could happen too with Freiermuth taking a big slot type role as well. Although maybe that's not truly ideal. So I think that this is a scenario where we're talking about Anthony Miller taking one of those spots. Maybe Steven Sims seeping in here because, again, he had a productive year in Washington 1 year. But I think this is a scenario where we're talking about one receiver early, and I think we could talk about them doubling down later in the draft. This remember I, when they drafted, I think, Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown in the same draft. This could be the same idea. You get one in the second or third round, and then you double back around with that with one of those sixth or the seventh round picks. And so, yeah, I think we're talking about a scenario here where I think the Steelers could draft not just one. I think we could see them draft two wide receivers in this draft.
I think you could see them draft two wide receivers and still add someone in free agency. I think you could add like this look, feels to me like a team that's going to keep six wide receivers on the roster. I mean, yes. I don't think Olszewski is a pure special teamer to me. I don't think he, you know, he's not counting in your five wide receivers. We saw the Steelers do that when they had Darius Heyward-Bey on the roster and they basically only used him in special team situations and they kept six receivers. So I can see that happening. And yeah, so yeah, I absolutely think two receivers is likely. And I'm so if we're zeroing in on day two as a Steelers wide receiver pick, I guess let's now start at the top of the class. Who's gone before they pick at 20? Is 20 an option? And then we'll go from there. So like there's really only to me a couple of guys who definitely will not be there on the draft day when the Steelers pick at number 20. That's the top of the wide receiver class. Who is that for you?
Well, first of all, I don't think Drake London's going to be there. So they're not going to get USC big time athlete, 6'4" dude that can go up, make any contested catch he wants. He'll probably be gone. We've heard smoke of him going as early as 10 to the Jets. I can't see him getting there. The Eagles will probably take him if he's there. They need that type of receiver. And even if he does make it to 20, I don't know if they've shown the requisite interest in him to say, yeah, this is like flashing alarms. I think he'll be gone. I think there's a chance a guy like Garrett Wilson's gone. I think
those awesome. Two to me are likely to be gone. I would say.
I would also throw a third one in there. I don't think Jameson Williams makes it to 20. I know he tore his ACL, and I know that's the talk, but we've heard smoke of him going as high to 8 to Atlanta recently. The Jets brought him in for a pre-draft visit. The Texans brought him in for a pre-draft visit. The Eagles are there. The Saints have two picks and need a receiver to complement Michael Thomas. Like, I can't see him making it either to 20 personally. He's too talented. Now, if he makes it to 20, I can't see that happening, but if he makes it 20, I think we have an interesting idea here. Maybe Jameson Williams becomes that type of upside pick that they make at 20, EPA type, but we've never really seen the Steelers draft a guy that's injured like that, that really has that type of profile. So,
and the Steelers just learned the hard way about how difficult ACL injuries are to overcome, even when a player is back and practicing. They saw it with Zach Banner, still not right. Saw it with Devin Bush, did not look like the same player last year. And then you're talking about a player doing that while they're making the transition from college football to the NFL. I think that, to me, makes Jameson Williams, while possibly an option at 20, an unlikely one. talking about the guys that I think will be there, and there's one or two of them that makes sense at 20. But to me, the big ones, Chris Olave from Ohio State and Treylon Burks from Arkansas.
Yeah, I think those two guys are likely to be there. And again, you could get one of the three we talked about maybe fall there to 20. Maybe Wilson falls through the cracks and ends up there. I think Garrett Wilson, 20, is a really fun pick. I like Olave as well. Obviously, he had that burner speed, but he's also the smooth technician on the field where he just runs really crisp routes. Type of guy that's just going to be able to get open and do things. He's ready for the NFL already. Could have played the NFL this year. If he had come out last year, probably would have done just fine. And as you said, Treylon Burks is kind of interesting, a guy that fits an interesting mold, kind of an explosive player that knows how to use his body with good control, uses his big frame to really box out guys essentially and play some basketball on the post almost essentially. Got really good yak ability. You've heard the A.J. Brown comps for him in terms of what he has. He can play slot or inside out. All these guys we're talking about could probably play inside out, but most of them are probably going to start out instead of in, but they can play both. So it's really fun to talk about these top five. It's a good top of this receiver class. And so I think those five are your guys that you would look at. They're not going to make it to 52. And so if you take them in the first round, I don't think any of them would really be bad picks at 20. I think those are your five to look at.
I totally agree. I think all five of those guys are good first round picks for anyone picking where the Steelers are or earlier. And I obviously the Steelers are a very wide receiver needy team, but from a projection standpoint, they have not shown a lot of interest in the position, right? I mean, London held a private pro day last Friday. The Steelers were not big attendees at that. They didn't send Tomlin and Colbert to Ohio State. They didn't send them to Arkansas. I mean, they did see Jameson Williams, but obviously there's a lot of other talent at Alabama as well, and he wasn't even working out there. They just went, you know. So it doesn't seem like they're that interested in taking a wide receiver with the first-round pick.
And as you specifically talked about them taking high-capital receivers – first round has not been very common either. They've taken him on day two. Now, they have taken one, and it was Santonio Holmes. So that was the one guy that, you know, him and Plex have been the two guys that Colbert's really looked at and has hit on in that first round. So it's not like he's incapable of taking a first-round receiver. But it just doesn't seem like that first-round receiver is kind of coalescing. Now, Blaine Stewart was at the Ohio State Pro Day, so they did send him there to watch Wilson and Olave, which makes sense. But also, Jackson Smith and Jigbo was working out there. So 2023 preview, if you will.
And the quarterback.
Yeah, of course, CJ Stroud. Yeah, that guy too. Can't forget about him. But also, yeah, they just haven't shown the interest in a round one receiver. And even if you're talking about guys that like could sneak into the back half of the first, when we're talking about, you know, the Packers there, kind of there, like a Jahan Dotson, like they didn't send the receivers coach to that. I mean, they didn't send anyone on the offensive side of the ball to go watch Jahan Dotson at Penn State Pro Day. You and I were there. And while he had a good workout, they didn't send anyone there. So, I mean, this one looks like a day two pick to me. I think that's what we're going to look at.
All right. So there's two guys in that day two group. And you mentioned one, Jahan Dotson. To me, the other one that I think is likely to be off the board by the time the Steelers pick at 52 and probably by a good bit is Christian Watson from North Dakota State. It seems like those two guys are a good bit ahead of the rest of the pack, but this is a deep second round group. George Pickens from Georgia, Sky Moore from Western Michigan, John Metchie, the other receiver from Alabama, David Bell from Purdue. There's options here in the second round that feel very realistic to me.
Yeah, I think that Moore is obviously going to get all the connections because of his connections to Dino Tomlin and the local Pittsburgh connection. I know it hasn't been reported that he hasn't had a workout. He probably has with the Steelers. So let's take that. They probably took the local visit with him. Like, there's no downside to that, especially with wide receivers need. So he's probably had a visit with the Steelers here at the local facility. And so I look at a guy like Sky Moore, makes sense, fits the slot role really fast. They need that speed as well, a guy that can really stress defenses out of the two high coverages that they've been facing. So I think he could make sense. I think Pickens is the best fit for them out of any of these day two receivers. We've kind of talked about this because Pickens is this guy that can play kind of wherever he wants. I think he can play that X. He's a downfield guy with good speed, body control, and agility. He's a guy that has pretty good stock blocking ability. And like, this is pretty interesting because he's a little bit light almost, because he's like 6'3", like 195, and yet he still goes out there and blocks his butt off. I mean, he's just a matchup problem. He goes up and makes a lot of really nice contested catches. He's got the speed to beat you and stack you down the field. He can work underneath and has some really nice yak ability. Now, there's some injury concerns with him. He had the torn ACL, but he came back last year and played at a really high level. And so you look at what he did in 2021 against Alabama. He did a really nice job in that game. You look at some of the other games he had against, you know, Arkansas, Cincinnati. I mean, he played at a really high level in these games, that he can play X to Z. I think he can work in the slot. So he's your type of do-it-all guy. And again, he's kind of this question mark. I think there's a chance he's gone at before 52 as well, because I think if he doesn't have these injury questions, we're talking about Pickens in that top five group. He's got that true talent. So like the upside of 52, it fits everything the Steelers would look for. A guy that's really talented but fell due to some injury concerns in the top of the class. And so he's a guy that just fits what they look for. Sky Moore fits what they look for. John Metchie's very interesting. Also another guy that tore his ACL. Both of these Alabama receivers have a torn ACL. So maybe that backs him off a little bit, but smooth as heck, can play wherever he wants. Z, the slot, a guy that can, that has decent speed to stretch the field a little bit. He's a guy that just gets out in space. And so I think he's a really nice fit in that kind of scheme where you try to get your playmakers in space, because he's really a nice yak guy. He's fast. He gains up his speed fast. And of course, you can't pass up the Canadian duo. So you got to go Metchie and Mapletron, if you will. I think there's so many guys we can talk about in this range. You know, David Bell, you mentioned. I'll throw Calvin Austin in there from Memphis. We saw him at the Senior Bowl. Alec Pierce from Cincinnati.
Athletic traits off the charts for Calvin Austin.
Yeah. I mean, this dude looks – I mean, he was lightning quick, and he was fast too. He has every – if you look at the big three, quickness, explosiveness, and speed, he has all three of them. And so very fun. You talk about Christian Watson. If he's there at 52, really interesting type of player to look at. I think he's a guy that if he's there at 52, I find it hard to see them passing up on him.
Oh yeah. I can't see them passing on him or really Pickens, who they went to see at the Georgia Pro Day. And I just think feels like a very Steelers wide receiver to me.
Yes. And Watson is like Claypool 2.0, but somehow freakier.
Yeah, even faster.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how that was possible, but it is. So there's a ton of guys. I think another guy that makes a little bit of sense is like Alec Pierce from Cincinnati here on maybe round three, especially if they draft Ritter in the first round, getting that quarterback to wide receiver connection to the Cincinnati guys, I think would make some sense, would definitely offer some intrigue to them. And then the other guy I do want to throw out here as another potential pick on day two is Justin Ross from Clemson. I think he's a really fascinating player. Now, they were there at Clemson's Pro Day, and this is one where I think you have to look at and say, okay, what's the risk reward on Justin Ross? Because the injuries have just been – it's been his issue. I mean, the talent really has never been Justin Ross's issue. Now, this year he didn't have as much production because DJ Uiagalelei could not deliver an accurate ball. But – he was good on tape this year. He was doing good things. He made plays. He was really the bright spot of that Clemson offense. And so I think he's a fascinating player to look at. A guy that you thought could maybe be a first-round pick eventually, but a guy that can work in that big slot role, a guy that can work in an RPO-centric offense. I think he makes a lot of sense for this team if they get him in round three. So I would look at Justin Ross to potentially be another guy that you look at that they've shown a lot of interest in that they could take a look at.
Two more guys I want to throw out there. Second day picks, probably round three picks. Wandale Robinson from Kentucky. Brandon Hunt was at his pro day. He's a little guy. He's explosive. He's another slot option, probably just a slot option, not a guy that you could really project to go outside a lot, but I think would fill that role, you know, would plug that hole pretty nicely as far as a guy that I think can do it no matter what. Now, another player that I think can be, if you're looking more like, who's another Deontay Johnson, if you're looking for a backup or another place to put in that role. I like Jalen Tolbert from South Alabama a lot. I thought he was really, really good at the Senior Bowl. Not as explosive as Johnson is, but just has that like medium size with good quickness and the ability to kind of do anything you're asking of him. I really think is going to be a very productive pro no matter where he does. Didn't like run out of the off the charts or anything, so his stock hasn't really gone anywhere. South Alabama, obviously not a place where people are stockpiling talent from, but look, I mean, neither is Toledo. So like, I think you can do it from there. And I really liked his game from what we saw at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. I like Jalen Tolbert. Again, that guy that can do anything, can play wherever you want him on the outside, can work in the slot really smooth. And the thing about him is he's not as, I guess, light as Deontay Johnson is. So you could probably throw him in the slot.
Yeah,
like he's thicker and he can take punishment over the middle of the field. Like, this is why Deontay Johnson's never played in the slot, is because he just doesn't have the body to take the punishment at the slot position. You have to take a lot of punishment there. He can do it on the outside, though. And so that's why he's never played in the slot. I think Tolbert could. I'll throw out one more name here as I think a Deontay like sleeper, because I don't think anyone mocked Deontay Johnson around three. Now, I saw people that year mocking Deontay Johnson like day three to the Steelers. I never saw him at round three, so I'm going to talk about a guy I think that could sneak up on us as that 84th overall pick. I think Danny Gray from SMU is a really interesting player at that round three spot. You know, they sent Frisman Jackson down there to SMU's pro day, and that's notable to me. That's not a pro day they go to a lot. So if you go down to SMU pro day and you said Frisman Jackson, you are sending me signals that you are interested in Danny Gray. And he was also at the Senior Bowl. Looked really solid, ran a blazing sub 4.4 at the combine. A guy that has a ton of speed, and I mean this, just speed to go. And the difference about him is he's not build up speed. He goes from 0 to 100 in about 2 steps, and he's gone. The explosiveness he has off the line is special. And so he's a big play receiver that, especially I think when you work him on, say, screens, on when you work him on those shallow type, you know, crossing routes, when you work them on over routes, when you work them on those quick outs, when you work them on stuff like that, you know, there's basically the entire Steelers route tree. It's where he excels. It's what he ran at SMU. It's the natural fit. And he's a good route runner. He's a guy that understands leverage. He's a guy that honestly is probably evaluated by most as a fourth round pick. I would take him on day two. I really like Danny Gray's game. And, you know, I kind of didn't watch him until the Steelers went down there and actually showed interest in him. And, you know, I thought, okay, day three pick, whatever. And then you kind of watch the guy, and he's got a day two skill set to play both the Z, the X, or the slot. He's a really fun player. I think that he could be a guy that you look at and you can really work something with him. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers shock everyone and go, yeah, we're going to take Danny Gray at 84. It just feels like one of those picks where the Steelers, even in a loaded receiver class, he's going to have a little bit more, I think, stock than some of the guys that are thought of above him right now. So I'll throw Danny Gray's name in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you're like scared about the injury concerns when it comes to like Ross and Mechie, and you know, you're not in love with the smaller guys that you feel like don't have the versatility like Austin and Robinson, then I think he absolutely, you know, starts to look like a very attractive option. And I'm in love with the day three guys in this draft overall. I'm just so impressed by the depth and the different characteristics of the players that are like currently mocked in day three. Gray's one of them. Romeo Dubs from Nevada, Velus Jones from Tennessee, Tyquan Thornton from Baylor, Bo Melton from Rutgers, Kevin Austin from Notre Dame, Eric Itzukanma from Texas Tech. I'm Jalen Naylor from Michigan State. Like, there are just a ton of guys that I look at on day three and I'm like, yeah, he's an NFL receiver. Yeah, he's an NFL receiver. Like, so if they don't get one at 84, or if they get one early and they want to go back, there's so much depth here that I don't know. I think there's so many good value picks to be made at the wide receiver position anywhere in this draft.
So many. Tyquan Thornton ran a blazing 40. I mean, unbelievable. And he's 6'2", so he's a guy that really can stretch the field. Cal Phillips from UCLA. SMU has another receiver in Reggie Roberson, who's another speed threat, so maybe also looking at them. I think there's a ton of players. You mentioned Bayless Jones, also Bo Melton from Rutgers. And you know, the Steelers will be low-key about their pick connections. If you think they haven't gone over across the way and asked Tyquan Underwood about Bo Melton, I think they have. So Bo Melton could be Bo. I told you this at the Senior Bowl. I'm like, Bo Melton kind of has like the same type of running style, route style as Deontay Johnson. He's a really fun player. I like Bo Melton. And so he's solid. You mentioned Jalen Naylor. I like him. Charleston Rambo from Miami, I think, is another interesting guy in that late round discussion. Kevin Austin Jr. from Notre Dame. There's a lot of players here. John Terry Drummond from Ole Miss. I mean, you have a ton of players throughout here. Eric Ezunukama from Texas Tech. I mean, there are a ton of players here. If you're talking about some ACC guys, Trey Turner, Emeka Emezi. I mean, I would throw those guys a little lower, but there are a ton of different players to look at, to be interested at. And I think those speed threats specifically, I think that's the thing that sticks out about this. There's an unusually deep amount of speed in this class. And specifically, you're going to be able to get guys later that can work like, as that hip speed threat.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys that we're talking about here that, you know, we're saying, oh, well, they're day three guys. They're still running like low 4.4s. You know, usually you see guys in this where it's like, oh, well, they have good size, but they don't have speed, or they have speed, but they're 5.8 or whatever. And like, that's just not the case. There's guys that are like Kevin Austin Jr.'s, he's 6'2 and he ran a 4.43. He's from Notre Dame, and we're talking about him being picked like 200. that's not the way this usually goes.
It's not. And so this is a very unusually deep class in terms of the speed of this class. It's a very fast class. And so if the Steelers want speed, well, they're going to get speed because this is one of the fastest classes we've ever seen at the receiver position. And that's not exaggerating it. In terms of the combine era, I think this is the most sub 4.4 receivers they've ever had. Now, whether that was a fast track in Indianapolis this year or not, that's a question to be up for debate. But these guys on film all showcase legitimate field stretching speed that forces defenses to conform to their speed. So this is something where you got to look at them and at least think about them really hard. And you got to look at all these guys that you have as potential picks because there are so many talented guys. And again, this is why I say this. I think drafting one on day two, coming back, doubling down makes it likely. It's just a deep type of class with the speed you have. And I think there's guys in that round six, round seven range that at the very least are going to stick on your practice squad, if not push guys for roster spots. So this is going to be a solid class. I'm not sure it's quite as good as 2019 or 2020's class, or 2021 for that matter. I think we've had three back-to-back-to-back unusually good receiver classes. I think this one's a little bit below that one. But I think this is a good receiver class as well, to where the Steelers
has the top, but it's as deep as I can remember one.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there aren't like 10 guys that are just can't miss NFL players, but there are so many guys with elite traits that have fallen down into the day three range that I think that's what's really unusual about this class.
Yeah, I think that's really unusual. And again, you kind of talk about, I think there's less certainty about this class. I think that's what makes it a little bit more
injuries. There's so much. Yeah, like, London's been hurt. Jameson Williams has been hurt. Mechie's been hurt.
Ross.
And Pickens has an injury history, even though he's not hurt right now. And so I think so many of those top guys dealing with injuries has let more uncertainty than usual come into that part of the process.
Yeah, and then you have some of the top guys like test a little weird with Burks testing not as freaky as anticipated. And then Bell doesn't have a great testing day either. Like there are some of those top guys that didn't test as well, though both film's really good. So that'll like be okay, what happened there. And so it's kind of a weird class where a lot of these guys have good film, which is the most important thing. First of all, they have good film, so you feel like they're going to be good enough. But then there's also these questions. And I think there just wasn't as many questions in this class as compared in the other classes as compared to this one. And so I do like these guys, but I think there's more bust potential on some of them. But still, this is going to be a really solid class. You have a lot of upside to choose from, especially in the physical traits department. And I think this is one where you could see the Steelers doubling down and making some really good concentrated efforts to fix this receiver room because they can add speed. They can add guys that can play wherever they want. And I think regardless, I know we talk about, you know, there's a chance where the Steelers come off the board and come on the board at 52 and there's like 7-8 guys gone. And, you know, Sky Moore, Jahan Dotson, George Pickens are all gone at 52. But they have a guy that's sitting there like a David Bell, a John Mechie, or a Christian Watson, you know, someone like that. Like, it's hard to – we kind of talked about this at 20. It's kind of hard to be seeing all of the guys gone by 52. So, like, like you feel like there's going to be at least one of those guys at 52 or 84, regardless, whether it's a Danny Gray, whether it's a Wandale Robinson, a Jalen Tolbert, Alec Pierce. Like you, I keep naming all these guys. You feel like there's going to be a guy at 52 or 84 where you're like, yeah, really good value. We like this guy. He fits what we do, and we're going to take him. It just doesn't feel like there's going to be enough teams, enough demand for receivers for all of those guys to be gone to work. You're like, yeah, I can't take a receiver here. I got to go linebacker. I got to go D line or something like that. There's a good chance that receiver is going to be at the top of the BPA board at 52 or 84. I think that's what I'm trying to articulate here. And that's why I think it's so likely they take one, not just because of need. I think there's a good chance one of these guys is like your best player available too.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's why it's a little weird to me that they seem to be ignoring wide receiver at 20 because it is such a good class, but maybe they just feel like they can get one. They feel very confident that they can get one in day two and day three. And so there isn't that pressing need, like a position, like maybe say quarterback or like defensive line, for example, where I think is actually not a very deep class at all. And we'll talk about that later as we continue to build up to the 2022 NFL draft. Nick, anything else about the wide receivers you feel like we got to hit before we run?
I don't think so. I think that we've kind of covered them really well here. It's a good class. And again, the Steelers likely to double dip here and try to add some speed because they do need speed in this class. I know they need a lot more, but this class has so much speed. It'd kind of be a nuisance to not go and get one of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. For Nick, I'm Alan. Thanks as always for watching Draft Talk on Pittsburgh Sports Live. Again, you can like and subscribe here on the YouTube channel. We've got so much going on. We've got spring football. We've got NFL draft. We've got baseball. We've got playoff hockey. We've got soccer. We've got everything. So make sure you like, subscribe to the Pittsburgh Sports Live on YouTube. Hit that bell for notifications. You can also find Draft Talk on wherever you like your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. You can find us there as well. So if you want to listen on the ride into work, whatever, check us out there as well. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you all. And we'll be back with more with the 2022 NFL draft next time. Until then, have a great day.